Welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast, where it's all about finding clarity, confidence, and peace in the face of marriage challenges. And now your host, relationship expert and certified master life coach, Sharon Pope.
Hello, loves. This is Sharon Pope, and this is the Loving Truth. Today, we're going to be talking about when you know walking into divorce, it's going to be hard, but you didn't know it would be this hard. Or sometimes people will say, I just didn't know what exactly would be hard. And that makes sense, right? Because when you go into a divorce, there's a lot there that you just don't even know what to expect. So you don't know what to be afraid of. You don't know what to sort of brace yourself for. And if you've never been through it before, then this is your first time ever experiencing what that can be like. And even if it's not your first time experiencing a divorce, every divorce is different because every person is different. And even though you might be the same person technically, you're not the same person going through the second divorce as you were going through your first divorce. So every divorce is different. And so there's a little bit of you don't know what you don't know going into it. And to be honest, that's one of the things that keeps women stuck in a place of indecision, of just all of the unknowns related to divorce. So while everyone's experience is unique, there are some common themes that I just want to talk about today to sort of get it out in the open and be able to, you know, talk about the difficulties of moving through divorce. And some of them you might be like, oh, no, that's not going to apply to me. And then maybe it would. So just sort of take what you feel like is going to be really relevant for you in terms of this conversation and be open-minded to things that maybe you think, oh, that won't touch me, knowing that it might show up for you. So the biggest place that you are going to have challenges with an ex is going to be around parenting. That is so common. So just expect that to be a difficulty in your relationship. Now, there are degrees of difficulty, and there are certainly ways to make it better. And so I want to give you some things to think about. So the biggest reason why parenting is such an issue is because when you have children together and then you choose to end your marriage, you know, mom is still mom, dad is still dad, but the relationship between mom and dad is now what is different. So you've renegotiated the context of that relationship. And oftentimes, you both have the kid's best interest at heart, but the way you go about that can often look very, very different. Because we have different parenting styles. You know, you might be more nurturing and more loving and a bit softer. And your soon-to-be ex-husband might be a bit more no-nonsense and a little bit more of a disciplinarian. And in your mind, it might be a little bit harsher than the way that you would approach things. So one of the things that I actively do in my life and that I think can be helpful here is when you don't like something, something is going on in your life, some circumstance is going on in your life, and you don't like it, right? Because we all have those situations. So in this scenario, it would be you don't like how your ex is parenting your children. Okay, you cannot like it, but you couldn't control your partner when you were married. If you think you're going to control them now that you're an ex, you just get it out of your head. You're delirious. That's not a thing. So we can't control other human beings. You cannot control how they parent, but certainly we can influence one another. Your influence as an ex is going to be different than your influence as a husband or a wife. And that's just the way that it is. So one of the things that I do in those situations is I go looking for what's great about this. What's great about this thing that when I look at it, I hate it. Because I promise you, there's always something there that can help me grow, can help me see something differently, can help me show up in a different way. Like there's always something there for me, but I have to force myself to go looking for it. Because what's easy is to see what's wrong with it, because it differs from my way of thinking. But because I understand how the human mind works, the mind just goes out looking for evidence that aligns with what you already think and believe. So you have to force your brain to go looking for what's amazing about this shitty situation. What's amazing about this? And one of the things that when it comes to different parenting styles, that generally speaking, I like to just refer back to is that I think it is healthy for a child to see and experience two different parenting styles, two different ways of being in the world, two different ways of just going through your life. And because what they start to see is that they have options, they have choices. There's not just one way of doing anything. And when, if you were both just super nurturing and that's the only experience they got, they might not be kids that are very tough. They might not be very resilient because they're used to being coddled by mom and dad. And so when life hits them, because of course life is going to hit them, because that's the way life is, then they don't really know what to do with that and they get knocked down pretty easily. So they're not as resilient as maybe another child. Or if you were both super strict and you were both sort of hardcore in terms of behavioral issues and you need to obey and all of that kind of stuff and just much more strict, well, then you're going to grow up with a different set of outcomes and a different set of challenges that you're going to have to deal with later in life, where maybe you're a people pleaser or you never felt like you were enough because anything you did was never quite enough for your parents. And so those elements of our upbringing and the parenting styles can cause challenges for kids in different ways. And parents are all well-intentioned and they're just doing parenting the best way that they know how. And so having two different parenting styles can be a benefit so that it's not just only one way. And so that might be a way that you could look at your partner having a different parenting style than your own as actually a benefit for your kids. And so that's one of the ways that you could answer the question of how is this thing that I don't like awesome? And the basis for this means that you're going to have to sort of come off this idea that your way of doing it is the right way or the only way. And most of us don't really challenge that thinking, especially when it comes to our parenting, because our parenting style, we do think it's the right way and the way that it should be done. That's why we're doing it. So when we see someone doing it differently, specifically to our children, we don't like that. And so you chose to have children with another human being. And so they're not going to do it exactly the way you're going to do it. And as you become exes from one another and the nature of your relationship has changed, you're going to have to be more accepting that their parenting style, hopefully, while not harmful or overtly harmful, is going to be different than yours. And that has to be okay to some degree. Okay, so you have to release the idea that your way is the best way or your way is the only way to be. It also gives you the opportunity to equip your kids to navigate life with very different personalities. It gives your kids the opportunity to be able to set healthy boundaries and to learn how to communicate with their parents and be able to push back and have difficult conversations. Like, this can be an opportunity for you to equip your kids to navigate life better through these differences, as opposed to just trying to insulate and protect them. Okay, so the parenting is going to, at some point, become a challenge as you move through divorce. And I don't think that's a big surprise to anyone, but it's certainly one of the biggest challenges and one of the things that that will keep you stuck and keep you suffering, to be honest. So one of the things, there was a conversation recently that I think relates to this. It was James Sexton was on Jay Shetty's podcast, and it's a fascinating conversation. I would encourage you to go listen to it. So James Sexton, if you're not familiar with him, is a divorce lawyer. And, you know, he talks about one of the things that he sees people do is, for instance, let's say that your child is with their father and they come back to your house and you're asking them, well, how was your time with dad? And the child says, oh, you know, it was great. It was great. You know, we went to the park and we had a lot of fun there. His friend Cindy came along. And then you go, Cindy, who's Cindy? Oh, it's one of dad's friends. And then we went to go out to eat at my favorite restaurant. And you go back to Cindy and you're like, well, so is Cindy dad's new girlfriend? And your kid is like, well, I don't know, maybe. And then you start asking questions like, well, how did you feel about that? Dad bringing along a girlfriend on the time that he's supposed to have with you. Are you okay? Is there anything you want to talk about? So you're, in your mind, you're not doing anything wrong, but what you're doing is you're navigating your own emotions, maybe around a little bit of jealousy, maybe around some frustration with maybe you think he's moving on too quickly, or maybe around him introducing someone to your child without you knowing about that, which all of those things are valid emotions, but you're navigating those emotions with your child and through your child, as opposed to, hey, how was your weekend with dad? Oh, it was great. We went to the park. His friend Cindy was there. And then we went to my favorite restaurant. And you could just say, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. What did you get at the restaurant? What did you eat? That sounds super fun. And then what did you do? Right? You could just sort of breeze by it. And then after the fact, you can go have an adult conversation with your ex about introducing people into your child's life before you're aware of it. Right? So one of the quotes that he said on there that I appreciated was, you have to love your kid more than you hate your ex. And so there's going to be things that your ex is going to do that's going to frustrate you. But you are going to be asked in 1,000 different ways over the course of the next 10 or 20 years of co-parenting these children together, do you really love your kid? Do you really put your kid first? Or are you navigating some of your own stuff through your children? And you won't even know you're doing it, right? So those are the things to sort of pay attention to that you don't see coming. You don't really see it coming. And so then when it shows up, we often don't show up as our best selves. So I want you to sort of steady yourself, embrace yourself for that. Not that it, like, what if it doesn't happen? What if your ex and you agree and you actually follow the agreement of, we are not going to introduce anyone to one another's kids until we've been with that person for a year and we give a heads up to our partner, to our ex-partner. Okay. And then you actually follow that. But many times people don't, right? Sometimes people don't do what they say they're going to do. And so then you've got to be able to navigate that. So if it's not this specific thing, just assume it's going to be some other thing where you said you were going to do one thing and you did something different. Or your partner said they were going to do one thing and they did something different. How are you going to handle that in that moment? So that's something that you can start to think about in advance. So communication is going to be one of those challenging areas of, I knew it was going to be hard, but I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Particularly if you are not good at communication when you are married, don't think it's going to get easier when you're not married. Because communication is a skill set that either you have cultivated and honed or you haven't. So one of the things that I think really benefits all kinds of relationships is adding some structure to your communication. And so when you're married, that's one of the things that I talk about in terms of having some kind of structure around making sure that the two of you stay connected. But once you are no longer in an intimate relationship with one another, your relationship together as co-parents can still benefit from having structure, right? Just like in a way that businesses, you know, every Monday there's a staff meeting of some sort going on in almost every single business. Why is that? Because you need to remain connected. And so there's some structure around that. There's a meeting time. There's a meeting place. Everyone knows what's to be expected and where it's at and what's expected of them. And during that meeting, we're going to talk about the week behind us and the week ahead of us and what we're focused on. All right, so there's structure around that. Why? Because it works. And so we should do the same thing even when we are exes co-parenting. So that can be once a month getting together for coffee or breakfast on a Saturday or something and just saying, like, how are we doing in terms of co-parenting? What have you noticed in our kids? What have I noticed in our kids? What's something that you have done that sort of irritated me? And what's something that I have done that irritated you? Because I promise you, as much as you are going to have frustrations with your ex, to the same degree, they're going to be frustrated with you. They are. They're going to have not the same, but the same amount of upsets. And so you asking them, tell me something that has happened or something that I have done that you think I could have done better. And you asking that question and then really being open to receiving that feedback is going to then make them more open to receiving your feedback, right? But most of us, we all just want to, I'm going to tell you what you've done that irritated me and I want you to change. But that doesn't often work because then all you get is defensiveness. And so they can't really hear what you're saying. But if you start with, why don't you tell me some things that you think I could have done differently or I could have done better and why? Just so that we can both sort of up our game in terms of parenting and doing this really well. And then you can talk about where are we winning as co-parents and what should we be thinking about in the month ahead or the few months ahead of us? What are some of the challenges that we need to just sort of have on our radar? Is Joey struggling with a school subject? Is Amber, struggling with an after-school activity? Is there some travel coming up? Is there some difference in our schedules that we need to allow for? Like, have some structure set up for the two adults to come together and actually co-parent. Almost no one does this. And it doesn't help the kids. And it doesn't help you, to be honest. Mostly what we do is we co-parent through text. And we can do better than that. We can do a lot better than that. So communication is going to be a challenge. Adding structure will help you with that. Even when you don't want to do it. Just lots of people don't want to show up for their Monday morning staff meeting, but we still do it, don't we? Because we want to keep our job and because we care about the output. So if you want to remain a good parent and you care about the output, you care about how you're doing it, you'll show up for things even when you don't feel like it. So that's something to consider. Some other things in terms of, I knew it would be hard, but I didn't know it would be this hard. What else? How quickly you or your partner will move on in terms of relationships. So sometimes it's you that moves on very quickly and you really think that everyone else around you, kids included, family included, your ex should all just keep up because you get to do whatever you want to do. And you do. But that doesn't mean it's not going to cause an upset because you're moving at a faster pace than maybe what they're ready for. Or your ex is going to move on more quickly than you think they should, or than you think the kids or the family is ready for, or maybe than you're ready for. And that can bring up feelings. And all of those feelings are perfectly valid to feel. But those are going to be challenges that you might have to face because eventually you're both going to move on into other relationships. It's just a matter of when that's going to happen and what that's going to look like. One of the other things with going through divorce is that at least one of you is moving. And a physical move is no joke. You know, your home is your safe place. And so if you've lived in that home for, call it 10 years or 20 years, and now one or both of you is now moving out of that home and having to create a new sense of home for yourself, that is a transition. And that doesn't happen overnight, and it can be unsettling. And so that can bring up some emotions, and those are all valid feelings. You know, one of the top five most stressful things you can do in your life, number one is going through a divorce, and number two is moving. And so you might be experiencing both of those simultaneously. So two of the top five stressors you will ever experience in your lifetime could be happening simultaneously. So if that's you, you need to be gentle with yourself and understand that like this is a time of massive transition for you. And if it's your partner that's moving out and you're getting frustrated that he's not just, you know, making it happen as quickly as you might like, or it doesn't look the way that you think it should look, have some compassion for that, knowing that he or she is going through two of the top five most difficult things they'll ever do, and they're doing it simultaneously. So that's something to think about. There's going to be challenges related to either family, like extended family, or friendships. And that's because many times friends and family very much feel like when there's a divorce that they have to choose between the two people involved in the divorce in terms of who they remain in relationship with. So many times when there's a divorce between two people, the friends and family now feel like they are going through a divorce because they used to have a relationship with both of you, and now they feel like they are only going to have a relationship with one of you, or that they can only have a relationship with one of you. And so in order to decide who that one of you is going to be, many times they have to determine in their mind who's the hero and who's the villain. And so sometimes, many times, you're going to lose family members that you used to be close with, and you very well might lose friendships, which doesn't seem like that should be the case. But again, I see this every single day. It's so, so common. And so, you know, if you ever, you know, someone was going into a divorce and I was like, look, here's all the things that are going to suck about you moving through divorce. And by the way, you have a bunch of people in your life right now that aren't going to be in your life. And you're going to think, no, 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 not me. Like, that's not going to happen to me. My friends and family, all that will remain the same. I mean, maybe I'll lose some of his family. Maybe they won't want to talk to me, but okay. But none of my friends, like, I did not have that on my radar at all when I went through my divorce. And I can't tell you the number of friends that I lost when I chose to upset that apple cart and go through a divorce. And now I see it so often with my clients. And sometimes it's really close family members. You know, there's a client right now where her son is really, really pulling away from his mom because she, very specifically, because she is choosing to divorce his dad. And so those relationships can cause a lot of upset. And so maybe just know going into it that you're going to lose some people and that that's going to sting and that's going to hurt. Someone's going to judge you. Someone's going to have an opinion about your life. They're going to think they need to understand and they need to co-sign on your decisions. And ultimately, you know, as well as I do, that they don't. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to have feelings about it and then make some decisions about your relationship that you may or may not like. So that can be a challenge that you don't see coming. Certainly, separating assets and divvying things up, that's always a challenge. Another thing that is a challenge is going to be you managing your emotions. So emotional regulation during this time is so, so, so important. And we are so, so, so under-equipped to be able to do that because most of us never learned anything about our emotions. Most of us can't even name what it is that we're feeling when we're feeling it, much less be able to express those emotions in a healthy way. So for instance, if you have children, the first night that your kids are with your ex and they're not with you, that is going to be a difficult night. If it's a weekend, if it's a week, if it's a holiday, those are going to be difficult times. And there's no way through it but through it. And you will find your way through it. You very well may have feelings of loneliness because now you are not in a relationship. And so you might feel lonely. It's an emotion that you can handle, especially, and it's logical. When you're not in a relationship, there's going to be moments of loneliness. There's going to be moments of happiness too, by the way, but there will be moments of loneliness. You might have feelings of fears. There might be more fear coming up for you. I hear fears a lot around, what if I'm alone forever? What if I have to age all by myself? and I don't have anyone there to take care of me, as I might need some people. Things like that, you know, those, maybe you might have money fears. Maybe you might have community and friendship fears of, you know, I told you you're going to lose some friends. Well, will I make new friends? And you're going to experience the emotion of grief, because divorce is a loss. And so there's going to be the grieving process of how you thought this was going to be, the picture you had in your mind, and how it actually was, and where you are today. And so there's loss there. And I want you to know that even when you are the one asking for the divorce, even when you know it's the right answer for you, that there's going to be grief involved, and you're going to move through those five stages of grief. And the last thing I want to say that no one really sees coming, and it's hard to really talk about, but I think it's worth trying, which is you are going through a massive transformation. And, you know, just like a fish doesn't notice the water they're swimming in, you won't notice that you're going through this massive transformation until you come out the other side and you look back and you go, wow, I am a completely different person than I was. And you don't know who you're changing into. You don't know what it's going to look like. And it's so subtle and sometimes not so subtle that it's happening, but you're not fully conscious of all the changes that are taking place. But what you are going to notice is some things in your life that used to fit, that used to work for you, no longer fit, no longer work for you. It might be something as simple as, you know, the way that you dress or where you live changes. The look of your home, you might start redecorating, like those kinds of things might change. But also the things you value very likely might change. The people around you might change. Like I used to have a lot of people around me in my first marriage. I don't have as many people around me today as I did then. But the people who I have, I am really close with. I mean, we're tight. We're like ride or die. So values change, beliefs change, priorities change, and you change. You're becoming someone new. And I want you to just be compassionate and gentle with yourself, knowing that, yeah, things are changing for me. And while that's always true, I think it just happens in a bigger sense as you move through divorce. So the last thing that I want to leave you with here is related to something, some questions that you could ask yourself that you might think about and ideally journal about that will help bring you some peace and some closure as you move through the difficulties of divorce. And these are questions like, here's what I'm most grateful for about this marriage. Because it's really easy when you're going through a divorce to understand all the things that you are upset about and why the relationship didn't work. But nothing is all bad or all good, right? So look for what are the things that I'm genuinely grateful for inside this relationship. And it's super easy to go to, well, we had kids together. Like, okay, that can be one of those things, but don't stop there. Because there were other good things that came through that relationship. You know, you probably went through some difficult times together. You might have mourned a loss together as a couple. You might have come through someone losing their job and your partner sort of uplifting you and helping you get back on track. Whatever those things are, there were probably some beautiful moments that happened throughout that relationship. And if you can look for the things to be grateful for, that will really help put the relationship in perspective and close the chapter with a gentle unfolding. You might journal, here's what I really want for myself, and here's what I wish for you, to my ex. And this is just for you. You don't have to share that with them, although you might choose to share these notes with them. But what I wish for you and what I wish for me, those are good journaling prompts to use. How I want to carry myself through the difficulty of divorce is fill in the blank. How do you want to carry yourself? How do you want to feel? Because you're not going to feel great. You're not going to feel joyous and alive, but can you feel content? Can you feel peaceful when the waters are pretty rocky around you, right? So go for, like, think about how is it that you want to carry yourself and how is it that you want to feel as you move through something difficult? What is it that you hope that your kids will see? Finish the sentence, I hope our kids will experience us as, and fill in that blank. And the last thing is, what I would not have today is X, Y, and Z, had the two of us not taken the opportunity or the risk to love one another. We took a risk when the two of us came together, because all relationships and all forms of love is a risk. There are no guarantees, even though we really like to try to wrap guarantees around them. And so what I would not have in my life, what I would not have ever experienced, is X, Y, and Z. Because I think that so many times we frame divorce as a failure and we stop there, because most of the world looks at marriage that the only success is that you made it until death. When you go looking for how your life is enriched, how your life is different, how your life is more meaningful, because the two of you took a chance to love one another, now you can see the marriage, even in its ending, through a much softer lens. Okay, I hope that that was helpful for you and gives you something to consider if you're considering moving through divorce or if you are in the midst of moving through divorce. Until next time, please take really good care.
If you're listening to this podcast because you're struggling to decide whether to stay or go in your marriage, and you're serious about finding that answer, it's time to book a Truth and Clarity session with a member of my team. On the call, we'll discuss where you are in your marriage and explore if there's a fit for you and I to work together so you can make and execute the right decision for you and your marriage. Go to clarityformymarriage.com to fill out an application now. That's clarityformymarriage.com.